Welcome to the 23 Minutes in Hell podcast, where author and speaker Bill Weiss and his wife Annette address the many questions and concerns that we all have about the topic of hell and eternity. Bill and Annette believe the subject of hell shouldn't grip us with fear, but instead should inspire us to invest the time we have left on earth wisely. Tune in for today's enlightening broadcast.
Thank you for joining my wife and I. Today we are discussing the most important decision. But before we get into what that decision is and why, I want to share two stories that really impacted me. You know, our neighbors, they were an elderly couple, and we found out one day that the husband was dying. He was in the hospital. He was an atheist. And I went to his wife and I said, "Do you mind if my wife and I go and see him?" And she says, "No, no problem, except for don't talk to him about the Bible. He does not want to hear anything about that." And she knew that we were Christians. I said, "Okay." So we went to see him, and as we walked into the room, now this was a really tough, gruff guy. He was a Marine. He owned a car dealership. He was successful. He was just a tough guy all his life. And as we looked at him, though, tears were coming down his face, and he was crying, and he said, "Bill, last night I almost died. I was slipping out of my body." He said, "I was terrified. I was going into darkness, and I was heading to hell. I am so scared. I don't want to go back there. What do I do?" So we told him the way of salvation. We explained that Jesus loved him, died in his place for his sins, but he needed to repent, ask God to forgive him of his sins, receive Jesus as his Lord and Savior, and God would come into his heart and save him. Well, he was so anxious to do that, and he said, "Please do it right now. Let's do it. Let me say this prayer." So we led him in a prayer. He repeated it, and then a peace came over him, and he just looked so joyful. Now he had tears of joy, and he was so happy. He held my hand for a long time, and we finally left. Well, a few hours later, he died. And so one of the points of this is, what if we wouldn't have gone, my wife and I? You know, it's so important to obey the Holy Spirit when he tells you to go, because timing is so important.
And also that gentleman's wife, she was not a Christian either.
Right, exactly.
So we weren't aware of any Christians really in his life.
Right, so he probably would have gone to hell. So we were so grateful that we went. One more story. We were speaking at a church in San Diego, and the pastor's nephew had brought his best friend to the church service that day. He was 23 years old. And at the end of the service, he said to the nephew, "I don't believe that, Bill Weiss. I don't believe the Bible. I don't want to hear it. Don't talk to me about it." And his friend said, "Why? I want you to go to heaven when we all die. I want to, you know, you're my best friend." He said, "I'm not interested." So a few days later, they went to breakfast. And at the breakfast table, he talked about it again. And he said, "Look, I don't want to hear it. Don't bring that up to me. I am not interested in the things of God. I don't want to hear it." So anyway, he sadly, kept his mouth shut and didn't say any more. But the friend now got up from the table, the 23-year-old, got in his car, and 5 minutes later, he hit a brick wall and died. Now, this is a true story. And now the friend, the Christian, was so upset that he knew that if he didn't change in those last 5 minutes, he would be forever in hell, suffering. And we don't know. Hopefully, he changed and received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. But, you know, the point is, if he didn't, he has an eternity to regret his poor decision. You know, in Mark 8:36, Jesus said, "For what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" And you know, going to hell is not God's decision. It's ours. God gave us a free will to choose. And he told us in Revelation 21:8, "All unbelievers shall have their part in the lake of fire." So there's the warning. He warned us that if you don't believe Jesus is the only way, as Jesus said in John 14:6, then you will end up in the lake of fire. And Matthew 12:37, Jesus said, "Your own words will condemn you." Because see, a person says, "I don't believe Jesus is the only way. I don't receive that." And they reject him. And so therefore they send themselves to hell.
And you may be wondering, why did Jesus come and die on a cross? You know, he was actually born to die. And he died in our place because we are not perfect, and we all sin, and we've been born in sin. And sin separates us from God, as Revelation 21:27 states. And God is love, though, and he is merciful. So he made a way through Jesus Christ dying in our place on the cross. But because he's holy, because he's perfect and just, Habakkuk 1:13 says, you know, he will not allow sin in his presence. And sin is exceedingly sinful to God.
Right.
So Jesus had to come and make a way. And that's how much God loves every single person. And Romans 5:10 says, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son.
That's amazing. God took our place for our sin because he loves us so much. He didn't want to be separated from us. So he gave his life for us. You know, but just two verses that show that we are all born in sin. Psalms 51:1-5 says, cleanse me from my sin, for my sin is ever before me. I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin my mother did conceive me. And Romans 5:12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So that's very clear. So we all have a terminal illness. Because Adam sinned, his sin nature passed on to all of us. You know, and there's only one antidote, Jesus Christ. He is the only one who lived a sinless life and died in our place.
I like, too, what Billy Graham said in his book, Death and the Life After. He said, God has prescribed the remedy for the spiritual sickness of the human race. The solution is personal faith and commitment to Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And here's just a few verses of what the Bible says. There's only one way to heaven. 1 John 5:11 says, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. It's in nothing else. 1 John 5:12 says, he that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. That's very clear. And Acts 4:12 states, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And it states that as well in 1 Timothy 2, 4-6, John 14:6, and John 6:40.
Right. And John 3:36 says, he that believes on the Son has everlasting life. He that believes not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. You have to know the Son. Then here is the gospel in one verse. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4 explain. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So that's basically the gospel.
Which is the good news.
Right.
You know, but what is sin? And we're going to look at the Scripture. It says in 1 John 3:4, sin is the transgression of the law. So in the Vine's Dictionary, it says it's missing the mark. Sin is lawlessness, the most comprehensive term for moral obliquity, an act of disobedience to divine law. So we all sin. We all miss it. And then the American Heritage Dictionary, page 905, says it's immoral conduct.
Right. So we all sin, every one of us.
Yeah, we all fall short of the glory of God, of God's standard of perfection.
Right, so good works have nothing to do with salvation. Ephesians 2:8-9 says we're saved by his grace, not by works. You know, but see, we have to go by God's standard, not our standard. And James 2:10 says, if we offend God's law in one point, we are guilty of all. If we lie one time, if we have one lustful thought, if we steal one thing, then that excludes us from heaven. Proverbs 24:9 says, even the thought of foolishness is a sin. You have one foolish thought, you're excluded from heaven. Isaiah 64:6 says, our good works are as filthy rags. And Romans 3:12 says, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we have to compare to God's standard, not ours. We might think we're pretty good people, but not compared to God's holy standard. You know, it's like this. If you looked and you saw these beautiful sheep, white sheep on this green hill, beautiful green pasture, you'd look and say, look how white those sheep look. But if you got up in the morning, say the next day, and it snowed that night, now against the white, pure snow, those sheep look dirty and dingy. So it depends on what you're comparing yourself to. If we compare ourselves to a holy God, we look extremely sinful.
That's a great analogy. You know, and there are four ways to explain that good works will not get a person into heaven. And this just helps to distinguish. Of course, good works follow after you become a Christian.
Right.
But number one, works are not the root of salvation, but the fruit. Number two, they are not the cause, but the effect.
That's good.
Number three, salvation is not just a statement of facts to be believed, but a person to be obeyed.
Right.
And number four, salvation is not a matter of education, but of revelation.
Right. We have to realize who Jesus is. And that's the revelation God gives us, that he is the Son of God. He died in our place. And, you know, it's not just a mentally assenting to the fact that, yeah, I can believe Jesus is God. And then you don't repent and really have a humble heart and receive him as your Lord and Savior. You just acknowledge that he's God. That's not enough to be saved. Repentance is a requirement. And repentance means turning away from sin and turning and following God. You know, in my 23 minutes in hell experience, when I appeared before the Lord, when he showed up and I stood there in front of him, I felt so dirty. See, because he is holy and perfect and we are sinful. And I just felt filthy. And but, you know, he didn't want me to feel uncomfortable. And he took that away, removed that from me. And that's because of the blood of Jesus washes away our sins. And, you know, but I was at that time, I was so grateful for his sacrifice. It hit me so strongly at his feet that if he wouldn't have gone to the cross, I would be in that horrible place called hell for all eternity. And I was so glad that I had received him already, that I was a Christian.
That's so powerful. You know, and because God is love, he didn't want you to feel that sinful, you know, way you were feeling in his presence at first.
Right. Right, he removed that from me. He didn't want me to feel uncomfortable in any way. That's how loving he is.
Yes, that's so good. You know, and here's a few scriptures about that. As you said, repentance is required for salvation. Matthew 4:17 says, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" And then Mark 6:12 says, "And they," speaking of the apostles, "went out and preached that men should repent," which again, repentance, as Bill said, is turning from sin and turning to God. And then Acts 3:19 says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Mm. And that was Peter speaking. And then lastly, Acts 17:30 says, "God commands all men everywhere to repent."
That's good. That's good. You know, so because repentance is something that is not really preached too often in our churches. You know, and without the sorrow for sin, a person doesn't comprehend their destitute state without Jesus. See, there is a wrath coming on sinful man. God wants us to escape the wrath by repenting. Romans 1:18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness." 2 Thessalonians 1:8-9, "Them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord." Zephaniah 1:18, "Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath." Two more verses. Zephaniah 1:14-15 says, "The great day of the Lord is near. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, trouble, distress, wasteness, and desolation." And then Nahum 1:6 says, "Who can stand before his indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire."
Boy, you really want to know God as your Savior, Jesus as your Savior, and not face him one day as your judge.
That's right.
You know, but God's desire is that all people would be saved, as it says in 1 Timothy 2:4. And also in 2 Peter 3:9, it says, "The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance."
That's right.
That's his will. He wants everyone to turn to him.
Yeah. It's man's choice.
It is. And then I like what A.W. Pink says in The Doctrine of Election, page 8. He says, "The sinner is bidden to taste and see that the Lord is good. He is freely invited to be a guest at the gospel feast. The promise is wide and plain. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. But if the sinner will not come to Christ that he may have life, then his blood is upon his own head. If he will not believe, then it is his own will which damns him.
Right, and he's damned to hell for all eternity. Holman's Bible Dictionary, page 745, says, the Word of God teaches that the suffering of the lost in hell is eternal. The assertion that God would be unfair to punish eternally a temporal sin underestimates the seriousness of sin, the spiritual nature of sin, and the supreme holiness of God. Now, this is why this decision is so important, because hell is eternal. And it says so in Matthew 25, 41 and 46, Mark 9, 47, Luke 16, 23, John 5, 29, 2 Thessalonians 1, 9, Hebrews 6, 2, Jude 7, and Revelation 14, 10 and 11, and many more. Very clear, hell is eternal. That's why this decision is so important while you're alive.
And we do not cease to exist when we die. That is a false teaching.
Right.
You know, we need to realize we are a three-part being. And 1 Thessalonians 5:23 states it perfectly. It says, I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be presented blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
That's good.
And the spirit world exists. You know, we can only see visible light with our naked eye. We can't see the X-rays, the gamma rays, the ultraviolet, the radio waves, and the infrared. But we know they exist.
Right. So just the same, the spirit world exists.
Yes, exactly.
You know, and the spirit leaves the body at death. Here's just a few verses. Ecclesiastes 3:21. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward? He's talking about when he dies. Ecclesiastes 12:7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Our bodies turn to dust, our spirit returns to God. Genesis 35:18. And her soul was departing, for she died. Psalms 26:9 says, David said, gather not my soul with sinners. In other words, your soul will be gathered with sinners if you don't know Jesus Christ. So it exists after you die. Your soul still exists. Isaiah 38:17 says, thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of destruction. Thank God for Jesus. He delivered us. And, you know, in Matthew Henry's commentary, page 1106, says, there is an invisible world, a world of spirits, to which the souls of men remove at death, and in which they exist and act in a state of separation from the body.
Oh, that's a good quote. You know, deep inside, we each know there is more to us than just a body. We have a mind, a will, emotions, a conscience, the ability to love, to create, and to reason.
That's right. In Ecclesiastes 3:11, it says, God has put eternity in man's heart. So man knows he's eternal. He knows that.
So we're all accountable.
That's right. We are accountable. Now, while you are alive and still breathing, we encourage you to repent and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you will have an eternity in hell to regret your foolish decision.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to subscribe, rate this program, and share it on social media outlets. To stay in touch with us and learn more about this ministry, consider checking out our resources at soulchoiceministries.org.